Support for the Alaska Live series of live music and conversation on KUAC comes from Design Alaska. Design Alaska, architecture and engineering for the new frontier. Good afternoon. I'm your Alaska Live host. I'm Lori Neufeld. My guest today, Sarah Koo, visiting cellist, instructor for the Folk School Fairbanks. Sarah, so nice to have you here.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
And tell me a little bit about, you've got a 3-day workshop going on with the Folk School, and you're in the midst of doing that instruction right now.
Right.
And it's for all ages, or it's for just children?
It's for all ages of children, I guess. So okay. This morning I had from high school level students down to some really young ones. So it's a lot of fun.
Great. Well, do you want to start off with a piece? You've brought your cello in for Alaska Live, and so it'd be great to hear you play.
Sure. Here is the prelude to the first suite of J.S. Bach. He wrote 6 suites for unaccompanied cello, and this will be the very first one, probably recognizable to many.
Sarah Koo playing for Alaska Live, and that is one of the more familiar pieces from the work of Bach and the solo cello, the prelude from No. 1, right?
Yes.
Oh, just, it's moving. It's got that emotion to it.
It really does, and the Bach suites are a lifelong project, so I don't remember what age I was when I first tried this one, but I keep studying it, so and I keep changing it.
So that's how you keep a piece like that that you've probably played hundreds of times fresh and new.
Yes, yes. I'm always trying to become more aware or more knowledgeable and stay more true to the composer while putting my spin on things when I'm able. So it's always a constant project.
You have 2 degrees from Juilliard, both your bachelor's degree and your master's degree from the Juilliard School of Music. And what was your path to Juilliard like? Was it paved in gold, or was it a rocky and rough one? Or
I think both. Yeah. I do. I mean, I have a professor dad, so it's not as if and my mom's, you know, bless her heart, stayed at home with all three of us. I have 2 older sisters, and she helped us and raised us and helped us with everything that we did. So it's not like we were able to indulge in a lot of things or have an amazing instrument or anything like that. But at the same time, I had the most incredible teacher, and she really took me in, as I really do call her my second mother, and we joke about it. She's here right now, too. She's teaching alongside
really?
In this program. Yes. Oh. And through her, I learned everything that I know. I really do believe that. And she also is the one who really helped me figure out how to make Juilliard a possibility. At the time, as a senior, if there's any seniors in high school or parents of seniors, I know it's a stressful time right now, especially here in November, but it was very stressful for me. And Juilliard was actually the only music school I applied to. I thought I was going to be
aim high,
something else. I thought I was going to be a doctor or a lawyer, typical Asian family. And so I didn't expect to try to go into music, but it ended up turning that way. So I ended up going to the only music school that I applied to.
Well, luckily the Juilliard School of Music was the one that accepted you, because you had not applied to the other music schools.
Right. So thank goodness something worked out.
You're here for the folk school Fairbanks, the workshops, and you also have a recital, and that's open to the public?
Yes.
And do you know when that is?
That is tonight.
Tonight is Friday night, yes?
Yes, and I believe it's at 7 o'clock.
Okay, great. We'll find out the details, and we'll add those later.
Thank you.
During afternoon concert, no problem. And I will look up those also. And this is part of your passion that you have for outreach and teaching, right? You are a performer. You perform the Bach piece, and you're incredible at that too. But I understand that you, like your favorite teacher, you are passing that along to others also.
I hope so. Mm-hmm. I do believe that if I'm able to impact children or people in general, even just 1% of what my teacher has done, then I think it'll be huge and worth it. She's been incredible for many, many people. But it is what I do. I didn't know all along what I would want to do. I performed a lot and moved from country to country or state to state, trying to do different things. And I still love to perform, but I have found a passion in teaching and working with young people and trying to help them reach excellence and learn the love of music. I really have become passionate about that.
You know, my image of young musician as yourself, Sarah Koo, going into, you know, a nice suburbia elementary school, and you have your cello, and all the kids are just, they're dying to, you know, run that bow across strings. Is it always like that in outreach programs? Has that been your experience, or have you done some other things?
I've been across the board. Yeah. So I've been lucky to work with your just average middle school student. When I was living in New York, I worked at a school in East Harlem, which was extremely different. I can still remember that first day very, very vividly. That was very difficult, just because the students were used to different things and the background was different. So I've worked with all different students. I think if you approach the introduction of music and the cello in the right way, then you can really find everyone interested. But often you have to approach it in a different way for each person in order to capture them. I think.
Did you notice that those East Harlem kids, did they eventually warm up to the idea of playing cello or?
They did. And studies, they've been following this program in East Harlem, and the statistical results of the studies have shown that a much higher percentage of those students have been able to graduate high school and go to college, which is huge. And so there's something about the discipline of music that has helped them in their lives and their studies as well.
They did a story on that on All Things Considered from NPR and about that study. And so you're part of those statistics, I take it.
That's it was great. Difficult, but, but it really wonderful to be a part of these things. And now I work at the Salvation Army, and that's where
you do.
Our music school is now. 5 years ago, I moved out to Southern California, and there was no string program whatsoever there, and we've built up something that is really exciting. So.
I think of Antonio Vivaldi about his decades of work at orphanages for little girls, and he wrote so many of his pieces for them to perform. And
right.
I think of, oh, you at the Salvation Army, you know, you are giving the gift of music to people who might not be so privileged to have it otherwise.
I hope so. And I do believe it's supposed to be something that is accessible to everybody. And unfortunately, the reality of it is that it's not. So it's been great to work with students of all different economic backgrounds and then get to bring them to perform at shut-in areas, homeless shelters, and rehab centers. It's been really incredible to see how much everyone's able to reach out together in order to share music.
Amazing. Well, would you like to share some more music with the listeners? Sarah Koo is here, cellist, guest, visiting artist for the Folk School Fairbanks Workshops.
Sure. I'll continue with the G major suite and offer one of the dance movements. This is the Allemande, and I'll do it just straight through just for time reasons. I'm
Really gorgeous tone, too.
Thank you.
Do you travel with the cello that means a lot to you, or do you leave one at home that means a lot to you and travel with one that's a little less of value?
I just have this one, which, believe it or not, is not monetarily very valuable. We really lucked out finding this when I was, I believe, in seventh grade. But along the road, I've had the privilege of being loaned different instruments, and that's been amazing. At Juilliard, they have an incredible collection, yes. And I was able to use an instrument there for many years, and then, unfortunately, had to finally give that back. But this cello is very dear to me, and so it's very valuable in terms of the sentiment and what it means to me. I love it, even though it wasn't a terribly expensive instrument. But I do travel with it a fair amount, which is harrowing.
Yes.
You never know what's going to happen. The safest bet used to always be to buy a seat for it. But
they don't allow you to do that anymore, apparently.
The airlines are all very different, and every single time you fly, it's a new experience. And so flying out here was a dream, and that was great. But
your first time in Alaska?
It is.
Oh, great.
I cannot believe how beautiful it is here.
The weather right now is just gorgeous with the clear skies, and it's so crisp and cool, and some might call it cold because it's around zero.
I would call it very cold. The night before leaving for our flight, I was telling my husband that I was very cold, and he looked at the thermostat and it said it was 60 degrees outside. So he said I was going to be in trouble in Alaska.
Well, hopefully they've provided you with some nice gloves here, or you had some that you brought with you.
I brought a lot of luggage because I wasn't sure how to stay warm. When I looked up the temperature, I couldn't process what it meant when it said negative.
Right.
I think when I looked at it, it said negative 8, and I just didn't understand what that meant.
Well, New York has some brutally cold weather because it gets to be damp and windy and kind of cold, you know, below freezing, and that can... Us Fairbanksans say that that's more miserable than zero or minus 10 because that kind of weather just cuts through anything you're wearing.
Yes. I've been surprised by how bearable it is here. It's not been that bad. And I think I was expecting something more like a very, very cold New York winter, or I grew up in Chicago, so maybe with the wind there, I think I was expecting far worse.
See, you've seen worse probably, although we are having a storm roll in this weekend, so we'll see what happens.
I can't wait.
Expect some snow.
I hope so.
Yes. You said you've had that cello since you were a middle schooler, but you've been playing cello for like much of the life that you can remember probably, huh?
Yes, absolutely. Since I was 4 years old.
Since you were four. You must have had a tiny cello at that time.
I believe so. They go very, very small. It's adorable to see these tiny little cellos, even this weekend working with the students. I love seeing these tiny instruments. It grows
takes
you with
back.
You.
Yes. Yes. And were you raised on the Suzuki method? I imagine, you know, all these little kids laying on their backs on the floor.
I grew up as a Suzuki student. My teacher, Gilda Barston, is one of the pioneers of Suzuki cello, and she's just incredible. She's just unbelievable. And that's what I grew up studying, the Suzuki program with her, and then have since gone back to do my training as a teacher within the Suzuki program with her again.
Oh, great.
So she's my forever teacher.
So you will be teaching those little children on the floor also?
Yes.
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 And you do that not just with violin, you do that with cello. So the cello is like, it's part of you almost.
Right.
You're wearing it.
Right. I guess so. Exactly.
I have not been to a Suzuki class at all. What is the idea of the method of being on the floor and learning that way?
There's a lot of different philosophies or different methods that, and tricks that some of the teachers will use, whether it's trying to position you differently so that you're in maybe a more natural state and you can feel what it would be to have like a straight flat back, which for a lot maybe is easier on the floor as opposed to in a chair with a cumbersome instrument in front of you. There's a lot of different tricks and things to try because every student is different. Some might learn more kinesthetically, or someone might just really need a really clear verbal instruction. So it's always very different.
You know, I would think, too, that staring at the ceiling is a lot less distracting than staring at all your friends and other Suzuki Institute members.
Absolutely. Or, you know, what is mom doing now? So that's definitely true.
Oh, right, because there's all these parents probably there and witnessing, you know, what's to be practiced for the next week or so.
Absolutely.
Well, that's great that you're going to be a part of that, a Suzuki Institute teacher now.
Yes.
And learning from the teacher that has meant so much to you all your life. That's really neat.
Absolutely.
And her name is?
Gilda Barston.
And she's here with you in Fairbanks.
Yes. And I believe she comes every year. I believe she's up here. She loves Fairbanks so much, and I can very much see why.
So I've always heard from guest artists too. It's not just the weather and the scenery, it's the people too. Are you staying with a family or are you staying at a hotel?
We're staying at someone's home, mm-hmm. and it's just amazing. Aww. It's incredible. It's a beautiful home, and I don't remember the last time I slept so well as I did last night. It's beautiful. That's here, nice. And the feeling is really different. There, you step off the plane and the feeling was one of warmth and kindness. I fell in love with it immediately.
Well, I think we have time for one more just short tune from you, Sarah, and then I've got to let you go because you've got teaching to do.
Yes. Great. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.
Gorgeous. Sarah, thank you so much for being here as part of Alaska Live. Sarah Koo, visiting cellist instructor for the Folk School Fairbanks.
Thank you so much.
KUAC's Alaska Live series of live music and conversation with local and visiting artists is provided by a grant from Design Alaska, Design Alaska, Architecture and Engineering for the New Frontier.